Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. Remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
It's that traveling time of the year. I'm Bob Bubka, and you're in the Grill Room. And I know where you can find the Grill Room: on Twitter, on TGR Golf, and on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show. But the real question is, when it's this time of the year, where can we find Alex? Alex, where in the world are you?
Well, Bob, I mean, you know where I am. I'm in France. And, you know, Bob, I'm over here covering the French Open. I decided to come over and because this is the venue where they're going to have the Ryder Cup in 2 years at Le Golf National. And I thought I'd rather be here than Bridgestone, so I made the trip.
Let me ask you this, Alex, now that you had a glance at where the Ryder Cup's going to be, your first impression of what it's going to be like when we get to France in, what is it, 2 years, 2018?
Right. Well, I think the golf course has been built up. It was on a dump, basically, and they built it up. Not a lot of trees, but a lot of viewing areas. Probably one of the better viewing areas that you're going to have for a Ryder Cup, because you got to remember, when you're playing just four matches basically in the morning and the afternoon for 2 days and then finally get singles at 12, it's very hard when you got 45 or 50,000 people out here trying to watch four matches. So the ability to be up high and be able to look down is going to be a big plus for those people that are they're coming over to watch it.
Well, that's certainly good news. And after the excitement of U.S. Open week, kind of back to normal again with Tiger's tournament, the Quicken Loans, which was hosted by Tiger Woods, obviously not playing, and it benefits the Tiger Woods Foundation, which, I can't believe this, Alex, celebrating its 20th anniversary.
Well, you know, first of all, it's hard to believe that Tiger's been basically playing for 20 years, even though I can remember covering his U.S. Amateur at Pumpkin Ridge, his final one in 1996. It just seems so odd to believe that, A, all the things that have happened over that period of time, now Tiger not being able to play, and I think it's pretty clear that he is definitely nowhere near ready to go professionally. He's just, you know, when you see people like Jon Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau and all the rest of these young kids just coming out, if I'm Tiger, I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to be able to do it. And I think his head is there. It's clearly his head is ready to play, but I don't know if his body's ever going to live up to what his head is thinking.
Well, when you think of all the surgeries, and especially the back, and then people forget the violence of Tiger's swing. I mean, he didn't swing at a golf ball. He literally attacked it. And I think that back can only take so much. We'll just have to wait and see if things improve in the future. But what about the story, Alex? I think it came out of Hollywood casting. Billy Hurley, the Annapolis grad, wins his first PGA Tour event. He was ranked over 600 in the world, playing there in a sponsor's exemption. It's basically his hometown. It's just unbelievable that Billy Hurley could get the job done.
Well, I don't know about unbelievable. I think what it is it just shows you on any given week on the PGA Tour that anybody can win. And when we talk about watching 156 guys tee it up at a venue, there's no way to know who's going to play well and who's not. I mean, you looked at that board on Sunday and you saw the names of Billy Hurley III and Harold Varner III and Vijay Singh. Both at completely odd ends of the spectrum. One guy who's won over 30 times in his career, but basically on the back end of his career at 53, competing and actually, not if not for making a mistake, probably is right there at the end. And you got Jon Rahm, who no one knew much about except for he played in college. Now all of a sudden he's up there. And again, if he doesn't make a mistake at the end, maybe he's going to be the guy holding the trophy. It's just so many scenarios that played out over a Sunday, but that's just how many scenarios play out on a weekly basis on the PGA Tour. And I think that's why golf is so compelling when you watch it, because you really never know what's going to happen. Even going down to the back nine of any event, I'm sure Jordan Spieth could speak to that as well.
Why don't we give a listen to what Hurley had to say after his win?
This has been the culmination of about the last probably 6 months of working on my game, really. I worked really hard. So over the winter, I really worked hard on my swing. So I definitely have a more complete golf swing. It's very balanced. It's very allows me to work it both ways with pretty much ease. We've just been talking over the last couple of weeks is, you know, just kind of dial in the wedge game. And that's kind of the last piece to really, really get over the hump. Couldn't be a better tournament to win from all the facets of it, you know, from just being close to home, being close to the academy, close to where I grew up. I mean, it's just, you know, perfect.
Well, Mr. Maselli, certainly a big win for Hurley. And as he said, pretty cool to get the trophy presented by Tiger Woods. And now he's going to be playing at the Open Championship. He gets into the Masters. I mean, you know very well, Alex, a win on the PGA Tour represents far more than just a hefty paycheck.
Well, that's absolutely right. And I think that's the reason why, if you're a Billy Hurley or if you're anybody else on this tour, knowing that you're going to get that two-year exemption, and depending on who you are, maybe even three-year exemption or five-year exemption, depending on the event, I mean, it's a big weight off your shoulders. It allows you to kind of free yourself up a little and focus on playing golf, but not focus on it to the point where you're concerned that you're going to have to play in some playoffs or some other vehicle to try to get your card back and for the 16-17 season. That win for Billy Hurley will not wear off very quickly, not only emotionally, but financially. It's a big benefit all across the board. And now you see Billy Hurley, as you said, going to the Open Championship, which I'm sure at some point in his career wanted to but never thought he could. And that's not any different than, I have to bring this up too, with Harold Varner III. When he walked off the 18th green and his caddy and Webb Simpson was playing with him, his playing competitor, both told him that he had made the Open Championship field. He was clearly stunned. You could see it. I had no idea that was the situation. It's just a huge thing when you get an opportunity on top because of the fact that you played so well. And this opportunity for both the Hurley and Varner is great.
Extra special for Billy Hurley performing in front of basically a hometown crowd and only in the event due to a sponsor's exemption.
Before you switch, I just want to say one thing, though. I think what's most interesting and compelling about someone like Billy Hurley is you watched him do things that you probably haven't seen him do in his entire career. I mean, he never looked like he was flustered. He looked very unflappable playing the final 18 holes and the final round. I mean, you know that you can either play like that or you can be like Shane Lowry, who kind of lost his game on the final 18 holes at the U.S. Open after having such a nice lead going into the finals. You know, he's playing with Ernie Els. I think if you talk to Ernie afterwards, if you get a chance to talk to him, I think he would have been very impressed with how well Hurley handled the situation, which I was.
Well, I think a lot of people were, but, you backtrack just a little bit and remember this is a golfer that served 3 years aboard a destroyer in basically hazardous duty areas. So maybe a six-foot putt to the average person may look intimidating. Maybe to somebody that served time aboard a destroyer, it might not be as intimidating. All right, now let's make the switch to you, to actually where you are. Alex, coming to us from France, the site of the 100th anniversary of the French Open. But on the European Tour, they had the BMW International in Germany, and no stranger coming away with the title there, Alex.
Yeah, Henrik Stenson, who, you know, I have to be honest with you, has kind of been absent without pay, it seems like, on both tours. You haven't been able to find him, really. He's not given a good accounting of himself in 2016. Now all of a sudden wins, big win for him, 10th European Tour title. But it's not only that. It's knowing that you can get it done again, knowing that your game is there. And it's so important for him because in 2 weeks, he's not playing here in France, but the next week he's going to be playing in Scotland, up at Castle Stewart in the Scottish Open. And then the following week, he's going to be playing in the Open Championship at Troon. And if you remember, the last time he had success at the Open Championship was when he played so well at the Scottish Open. Coming off of a win, I think that you have to definitely take a serious look now at Henrik Stenson going into the next couple majors.
Don't forget, he's on that short list that just a couple of weeks ago contained the name of Dustin Johnson, and that is the list of great players that have never won a major. Dustin Johnson has gotten the job done, and quite frankly, the name Henrik Stenson, whenever you talk potential major winners, Henrik Stenson has to be near the top of the list. All right, Alex, time now to talk about the PGA Tour champions, the American Family Insurance Championship in Madison, Wisconsin. Wow, it's hard to believe. Kurt Triplett, you know, now he's won five times on the PGA Tour champions. Pretty amazing stuff.
Well, I mean, he was always a solid player, Bob. It's playing at the university course at Madison, first time these guys have seen it. And obviously it was something that met Kurt Triplett's eye, and he really liked. Five wins, as you said, fifth time win. It's big out there because you don't get the kind of exemptions and the kinds of, you know, keeping your card on that tour like you do on the PGA Tour, because if you're not in the top 30, basically if you're not in the Charles Schwab Cup finale, you don't get your card for next year without earning it another way.
It's very difficult to get on the Champions Tour. It's even harder to stay out there. He did have his son on the bag, and if the name doesn't ring a bell, just think of a bucket hat with Ping. He's been wearing that for about 25 years. Wearing the title of the best in women's golf, she did it again. Lydia Ko wins for the 13th time. Help me, Alex. Am I hallucinating, this young girl? A 13-time winner on the LPGA Tour? Incredible stuff.
Well, I mean, she's a solid player, and every time she tees it up, she's got a chance to win. She's the closest thing that we have seen probably to Tiger, except for it being on the LPGA Tour. This is her third win this season, and she won by three. But, you know, she's so solid, you got to expect she's going to win a couple more times this year, and it wouldn't surprise me if one of them's a major.
Yeah, she is just incredible, and I think, you know, her exploits on the golf course just continue to amaze.
Well, the Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
So our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning. So we then kind of thought, well, what else can we do to enhance the enjoyment factor, the fun factor for the kids? And we kind of thought, well, what about golf balls? So what we've developed is easy-to-hit golf balls. So we've got a 60-millimeter golf ball. Basically, it's about twice the size of a normal golf ball. Other sports like soccer and rugby, the balls are scaled to the age of the kids. So we're just applying common sense to make it easier for the kids to hit the ball, and these things just pop right up in the air. They're light, they're safe, and they're easy to hit.
Visit golfin.com. That's golphin.com to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
Remember, you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by golfweek.com, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and of course, TalkSport 2, part of the world's largest sports radio station. We'll be right back to talk about some of the other items in the news.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. I'm Bob. He's Alex. Alex is in Paris, France. We're taking a look now at what's happening in the world of global golf. Kind of fitting that Alex would be in Europe, but not a good situation. Alex down at Greenbrier. Really tragic.
Well, it is tragic. I mean, devastating flooding due to the severe rains that we've seen parts of. You know, I think when we were in Pittsburgh, we saw parts of those rains at Oakmont. So we're familiar with what the rain was like, but clearly not as much as the people in West Virginia, with over 26 people losing their lives. And it was very clear when you saw the pictures of rivers way over their banks running down fairways at the Greenbrier that they were not going to be having a golf tournament, and they clearly are not. You know, it's sad because there's a lot of involved in those that whole process. It's sad for the lives lost, but it's also sad for those people that spent all their efforts and time over the last almost year now trying to put that event together again on an annual basis. So that's done. I know a lot of players were thinking about using Greenbrier as their vehicle to go ahead and get ready for the Open Championship. That's not going to happen now. One of them was Steve Stricker, who I talked to, was trying to decide between the Open, between the Scottish Open and the Greenbrier. He was going to Greenbrier. Now I'm sure he's going to have to reassess. The other part of that equation, Bob, is like they used to do with the John Deere. A lot of players would fly a chartered jet from the last venue on the PGA Tour to the Open Championship. I'm not really sure how that's going to work out either now, because I doubt there's going to be a charter flying out of the Greenbrier going to the Open Championship. So again, there's a lot of things that have to be figured out by other players. And the most interesting thing about this is that the Barracuda Championship, which is the opposite field event this week from the Bridgestone, is going to get that one exemption that was open to the Greenbrier, or the player that was the highest up that didn't win at the Greenbrier, that wasn't already exempt in the Open Championship. So basically an opposite field event winner, probably, is going to get an exemption into the Open Championship.
Wow, that is quite a perk, and I know that has a lot of players excited. One player that's really not excited, and we touched upon it briefly earlier in the show, but it's worth mentioning again. Tiger telling us he isn't ready to play. Let's give a listen.
Still progressing. I'm still getting stronger. I'm excited about what has transpired so far. I'm getting leaner. I've lost, you know, some body fat, but I kept the weight up, which is nice. I've gotten stronger. And it's just about recovering from day to day, as you were saying, that is anything bad happened. That's one of the things. I'm sore, and it's about trying to recover for the next day. And I just need to still get in, I guess, more golf shape, trying to hit more golf balls, things of that nature. So I'm still working on it. I'm still progressing so far, and it's tough. It's about 4 or 5 days in a row. It's about me playing 36 holes, you know, daily, on a daily basis, you know, getting up to speed and playing. And I'm not quite there yet. And I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get there as fast as I can. But I'm trying to do it right at the same time. And as you know, I've pushed through a lot of injuries and rehabs and before in the past, trying to do it correctly this time.
Tiger telling us he hopes to play sometime this year. I'm not optimistic about that. He doesn't know when yet. He tells us he certainly is getting fitter, but needs to be able to play 4 or 5 days in a row, play 36 holes in one day, and then be able to go out and practice after the round. And he said he just can't do that yet. I don't know where you stand on this, Alex, but I don't expect to see Tiger hitting a competitive golf shot anytime in 2016.
Well, if you're talking 2016 season, I agree with you. If you're talking about the calendar year 2016, I'm not sure I do agree with that. I think he's going to try to find a way near the end of the year to play. That's if everything goes well. But how he plays and what he'll be able to do is the next question. Will he actually ever be competitive? He talked a lot about what happened the other times he's come back. But he also explained the fact that he's older now, and age is really crucial here. He's had 3 back surgeries. His age is involved. He says he's in better shape than he's ever been in a long time. That all may be true, and his head is telling him that he really wants to play and he can really be competitive. But when he's standing out there with a 4-iron in his hand from 225, to a tuck pin, I'm just not sure we're going to see Tiger Woods be able to perform like he used to be able to perform.
And the other point that's certainly worth mentioning, you know, people reference Ernie Els, they reference Vijay Singh, even reference Steve Stricker, people that are in their 40s, in the case of Vijay in his 50s, still playing competitive golf, but they did not have the back surgeries. They did not swing as violently at the golf ball as Tiger did, and those are critical factors as far as I'm concerned.
Well, not only that, you're forgetting the fact that he also has this knee issue, which we can't lose sight of, which is another reason why he has had problems in the past. And you're right, Ernie Els is maybe one of the sweetest swingers you'll see out there. Steve Stricker, a very simple swing. And even Vijay's got a relatively sweet swing comparatively to Tiger. Yeah, I just don't see it happening. And then I think you have to add in the other part of the equation. There's just so much depth and so many better players now coming into the PGA Tour. It's going to be very difficult for Tiger.
That's going to be a big mountain to climb. Seems like a big mountain to climb is going to be the success of golf in the Olympics. More players are pulling out. Rory McIlroy announced he's not playing. The latest now, Graham McDowell, whose wife is expecting their second child. Not looking good for golf in the Olympics. There's a lot of rumbling going on. What do you hear, Alex?
Well, I saw recently a member of the IOC that played in field hockey for New Zealand, won a gold medal in Montreal, suggesting that golf is just not, not putting up with their end of the equation, bringing the best players and talking about how we need to have the best players. And I think this gentleman, quite honestly, doesn't really get it, doesn't understand the fact that, you know, back in the day, the Olympics were all about amateurism and how we all loved to watch the Olympics when we were younger. You know, Jim McKay getting on with ABC and talking about, you know, how great it was. You'd see sports you knew nothing about, water polo or wrestling. You know, things, you know, on top of the other more popular sports, which might have been, you know, track and field or gymnastics. But the bottom line was, is you were really engaged and enthralled because these are things that you never experienced before, never saw before. And it didn't matter that they weren't professional athletes. In fact, there was a lot of positives to that point of the view. Now, all of a sudden, you get these guys talking about how it's appalling they're not showing up. But what's appalling is they're mad that they're not showing up because of the money that they're talking about. I mean, the IOC and the Olympics are all about money now. It has nothing to do with the competition, for goodness sakes. If it was about the competition, we wouldn't let people that were cheating on an annual basis compete in these Olympics. So, you know, the bottom line is that golf has got four major events of the year, and that's what these players are geared towards. This is what they've learned since their younger days, and it's going to take a while for the Olympics to be a popular thing for these golfers, and it may not happen in our lifetimes. But if they want to get rid of golf, they're making a huge mistake, because golf is really the only sport, practically the only sport, that has the amount of corporate support it has worldwide, unlike any other sport in the world.
Well, you know, I take exception once again, Mr. Maselli. You a diatribe on the Olympics and failed to mention, and I know it was on purpose, that I have had a relative that has been fairly successful in the Olympics, a pole vaulter by the name of Sergei Bubka. It's pronounced there, Bubka now. His grandfather, my grandfather, were brothers. He's cleared 20 feet with a pole vault as my plane is coming in to pick me up. I'll be right there, fellas. He's cleared 20 feet 22 times. No other human being has ever cleared 20 feet once. How spectacular he was as a pole vaulter. That's when I really enjoyed the Olympics. I take exception to Gary Player, too, making a plea to Rory McIlroy to reconsider his decision. Where do you stand on that?
You know what? I appreciate what Gary Player has done for the game, and I appreciate what he did when he was playing and the support, and he's part of the reason why golf is where it is today. But he has to understand it's a different situation now than it was back when he was playing. And as much as he'd like to have played for a gold medal, it's not the same now.
All right, let's move on. What about Europe in the Palmer Cup match? How'd that turn out?
Well, the only good thing about that was is they played at a great golf course at Formby. Outside of that, obviously, if you're European, you're happy. And if you're American, the only thing you can say is we certainly didn't field our best team. A lot of our team is playing in the Quicken Loans or is playing in some other professional event because we've lost a lot of guys to the pro game over the last month or so.
This week on the PGA Tour, Mr. Maselli, Akron, Ohio, the Bridgestone, the field, really not going to be as strong as it normally is.
Well, no, because they basically put it up against the French Open, the 100th anniversary of the French Open. 1906 was the first French Open. Why the Tour decided to do that, I have no idea. Now they look at Greenbrier and they realize what a big mistake that was. Now they're going to have an open week when they could have, obviously they can't see that, but you know, it's atrocious that they would go ahead and do that. I think what they should have done is found another way, forcing Shane Lowry to have to make a decision between his home tour and the PGA Tour in this particular case, forcing other players to make those decisions. This gets back to, why are you forcing players to make these decisions? You don't have to. Everybody should work together. They shouldn't be making it hard on the players. But you know what? It's going to be it'll be a normal event at Akron, normally boring event at Akron, quite honestly. Don't like the golf course. I think it's just up and down. It's Army Golf. Could be a much better venue for a World Golf Championship than that.
You mentioned the name Shane Lowry. He's the defending champion. But you have a big event where you're at, and I'm happy to have firsthand grill room coverage coming from the French Open as they celebrate their 100th anniversary. As you said, wow, tournament dating back to 1906, and the European Tour certainly making a big deal, and deservedly so, of the French Open.
Yeah, double Ryder Cup points, which is huge. And also some other perks involved as well. Very, very good feel from the European side. Actually, when I took a look at Bridgestone, there was only, I think, four Europeans that could make the Ryder Cup team that are actually playing in Bridgestone this week, and most of them are all here. So it's going to be really a Ryder Cup fest. A lot of guys thinking about that, and you get players coming over from all over the world. Graham McDowell is a good example, loves this venue, loves this golf course. So I think it's going to be a very, very good French Open.
Well, good luck to everybody at the French Open. I know it's going to be a very special week.
And that is it for this week. You've been listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and, of course, Talk Sport 2, powered by GolfWeek.com.
A big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, to Golfin', innovative clubs for all ages. You know their tagline, beginners to winners. That's their goal. And to GolfWeek.com. So for Janice Self and Paris-bound Alex Maselli and myself, Bob Bubka, a thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.